This morning, I'm preaching the third sermon based on the vision statement that you find printed every Sunday on the cover of your bulletin. It's National's vision to be a ministry of grace, passionate about Christ's mission in the world. When I defined grace 2 weeks ago, I gave you three labels to stick on your refrigerator door. Grace is unsolicited, unmerited, and best of all, unending. Last week we learned that Christ's mission engages us as his witnesses in D.C., in the suburbs, the global village, and in the world of hurting and hungry people. Today I want to focus on the last three words. This isn't the last sermon in the series, but I want to focus on the last three words in the vision statement. In the world. The question is, how in the world can you and I make a difference for Jesus Christ? Let us hear God's word found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. Let us pray. Lord, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you ask my 9-year-old grandson about stars in the world of baseball, he will talk your ear off about A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez of the Texas Rangers, and he will wax eloquent about his favorite team, the New York Mets. He knows all their names, and he knows their lifetime batting averages. If you ask me about stars in the world of Hollywood, I will nominate Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts. If you ask the Emmys about stars in the world of television, they will open envelopes containing the names of Allison Janney and Michael Chiklis. And if you ask the Apostle Paul about stars here in the world of Washington, he will open an envelope with, no, it's not who you think it is. He will open an envelope with your name in it. You shine like stars in the world, he tells members of the First Presbyterian Church of Philippi, and by extension, members of National Presbyterian Church. You reflect the glory of God in the family rooms and classrooms and boardrooms of this city. Oh, what's that you say? Your long hours in the office and the undiminished stack of assignments on your desk have all but smothered your star? You're so deep in diapers that your star is little more than a flickering candle? After fighting traffic on your daily commute, you don't have any energy to shine anywhere? Well, if your star is fading, if you're losing your luster in the world, the Apostle has three recommendations for you this morning, all containing the word work and all attached to a preposition. Work out, work in, and work for. First, begin with a good workout. Work out your salvation, Paul says in verse 12. Now, he doesn't say work for your salvation, but work out your salvation, meaning work out the implications of your salvation. Let the Savior work his way into every nook and cranny of your mind, your spirit, your body. And that won't happen without a good workout. Regular worship, generous stewardship, rigorous Bible study, consistent prayer in concert with other believers. Yes, that's a very demanding regimen, but you don't have to do it all at once. 3 years ago, my wife and I joined a gym. Well, 100 years ago, we were joggers. And then we became long-distance bikers. And more recently, when our knees and backs began to talk back to us, we became early morning walkers. But let me tell you, it's tough to walk in the summer sun in Arizona. So when we learned that the city of Scottsdale charged only $70 a year to join its gym, we signed up. And yet, let me tell you, when I walked in that first morning and saw that room full of machines that would make a medieval torture chamber look like Disney World in comparison, I almost turned tail and ran. How could I possibly master all those mean machines? But before I could bolt for the door, the trainer was at my side, explaining everything I needed to know to turn torture into training. And the most important piece of advice he gave me was this: start slow and work your way up. Good advice for Christians who want to shine like stars in the world. Start slow and work your way up. Get up 15 minutes earlier tomorrow morning and read the lectionary texts on the back of your bulletin. And then go on a time diet, a time diet. Give up Wednesday evening television and sign up for a class here at National Presbyterian. And then do some stretching exercises. Got to do stretching exercises when you're at a gym before you get on those machines. Stretch out your hand to your checkbook and increase your faith giving. Stretch it by 1% of your income in the coming year. And then when you're ready for it, speed things up a bit by joining a mission team here or abroad. But don't try to do it all at once. Take it a step at a time. But do take the first step to work out your salvation. And I have good news for you. You have at your side the finest personal trainer in or out of the universe, for God is at work in you. So when you open the Bible tomorrow morning and turn to the lectionary text, fresh insights will spring seemingly out of nowhere, but in fact it is the Spirit of God building your spiritual muscles through your biblical exercise. When you pray and you cannot find words to express your deepest needs and fears, that same Spirit will come alongside you and pray for you in words that no human being can decipher. When you're exhausted and you cannot take another step, that same Spirit gives strength to the weak and energy to the frail and courage to the faltering. God is at work in you. But does that seem improbable to you, that the God of the universe should be at work in your little life? After all, are we not self-contained beings, so isolated within our self-consciousness that there is no room for anyone else? But if depth psychology has taught us anything, it is that we carry within us a whole host of helpers, parents, grandparents, forebears, all the way back to the dawn of creation, not to mention teachers and neighbors and friends. I still hear the voices of persons long deceased, Francis Learned, my fourth grade teacher, Paul Haggard, my college president, Jim Morgan, seminary classmate and confidant. And if they who are dead are still shaping my life, why should it be thought absurd that the living God is at work in me? God is at work in you. Take it from the Apostle Paul. And for this reason, this very important reason, God is at work in you to work for his good pleasure. Verse 13. And what do you imagine is the kind of work that gives God good pleasure? Preaching, you say. Evangelism, missionary service, worship, and prayer. Yes, to all of those things. But listen to Gerard Manley Hopkins. It is not only prayer that gives God glory, but smiting on an anvil, sawing at a beam, whitewashing a wall, driving horses, sweeping, scouring. Everything gives God some glory if, being in his grace, you do it as your duty. To go to communion worthily gives God great glory, but a man with a dung fork in his hand, a woman with a slop pail, give him glory too. God is so great that all things give him glory if you mean they should. Were Hopkins writing today, he might say that people who collect your garbage give God glory. And so do the window washers outside your 10th story office. And I would add to that list your job, your occupation, your career. Labor at legislation that benefits society, and you will give good pleasure to God. Change diapers with love in your heart, and you will give God good pleasure. Teach children their ABCs, and you will give God good pleasure. Serve your clients with integrity, and you will give God good pleasure. Do an honest day's work. Strive for excellence. Give good value for the dollar, and you will give God good pleasure. Because Hopkins was right. God is so great that all things give him glory if you mean they should. Now, I'm not suggesting that your name will someday crop up on the cover of Time magazine, or that you will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, or someday receive an Emmy. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting something far more illustrious. Work out your salvation. Let God work in you. Work for God's good pleasure, and in God's eyes, you will shine like stars in the world. And no Emmy winner, no Hall of Famer, no Time Man of the Year can hold a candle to a star like you. Amen.